Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's see if I get my mic here in front of me. Can you hear me okay? Good. And Lynn, I forgot to ask you in advance if you would do the music for me. You always do, and then I take you for granted. So I'm hoping that you'll once again say yes. If not, I'll work it out at this end. Thanks, Lynn. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. Good morning, everyone. This is our Sunday morning service. Welcome to the Awakening Together Sanctuary. What we do here first is what many churches do on Sunday morning, and that is we reach across the pew. In our case, it's a virtual pew, but we reach across the pew and say good morning to one another and greet each other before we get settled in for our service. So I am going to let go of the mic and get Lynn to play one of her lovely songs and give us all an opportunity to say good morning to one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you, Lynn. Virtual hugs to you too, Kathy. That's sweet. So let's take a minute now and look at our purpose and values. From our preamble to our purpose and values, let me read you the following. There's consistent wisdom in the universe. It shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique or new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or a special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. I want to read that last line again. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. There is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And then finally, I'll read core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Thanks, Barb, for posting that. All right. So, let's look at our announcements this morning, shall we? Okay. Let's talk about what's going on tonight in the sanctuary. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have our movie discussion group. This month's movie is Love, Actually. It's a sweet, sweet movie. If you haven't seen it, you still have time. It's available on most of the services, you know, Netflix and Amazon and Google Play, and I think YouTube's gotten in on that now. But again, it's Love Naturally. No, Love Actually. And what we do for our discussion group is we watch the movie, by ourselves, with our friends, with our families, and then we come together to talk about that in the sanctuary. What's suggested is that you pray before, you know, to open yourself to whatever guidance may come through the movie, watch the movie, journal after, and then come and come to the movie group and share what you have discovered in the watching of the movie. Share it with others of us who have also watched that movie. And that, again, is at 8 p.m., and the movie is Love. Love, Actually. Yeah. Yeah. One of the first lines of the movie is Love Actually Is. Amen. Okay. So, that's at 8 o'clock in, 8 o'clock Eastern Time in the, right here in the sanctuary. And then at 9 o'clock, we have we're going to have a special member meeting. It's an additional meeting. It's not our regular monthly meeting. We're having a special member meeting to talk about a number of things. So let's talk about what's on that agenda. First up, well, I don't know if she'll do them in this order or not. She being Regina. Course, our president minister, but here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, we're going to introduce the programs on our new sanctuary schedule. We are going to talk about our new sanctuary policy. We will give you an update on the search for a new sanctuary director and assistant sanctuary director. We'll give you an update on our 2016 fall retreat. We'll talk about upcoming Awakening Together classes. We will provide an update on the Retreat Center fundraising campaign. And we will be announcing our next mini-series. Okay, I'm still here. Getting a drink of coffee. Okay. let's look at some more announcements. The second announcement. For those of you who haven't heard, we're going to a new reduced schedule beginning on Thursday, September the 1st. The sanctuary will no longer be open 24 hours a day. We will be open on Sundays from 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be open Mondays from 7 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tuesdays from 7 p.m. to 11:30 Eastern Time. Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be closed completely on Friday and Saturday. Also, we're moving the room back to Education Other here in Pal Talk, which is a quieter category and subsection in Pal Talk. If you follow the sanctuary, you may be able to just click Following and choose the Awakening Together Sanctuary home as you usually do. However, if that doesn't work, you can search for the sanctuary or find it in the Education Other section. Much quieter is the hope. We have found that since we have moved to the religion category, we have a lot of folks just kind of stumbling into the room, unaware of our purpose of joining together to discover the one true self, and those folks can be confused, confusing, and disruptive. So we're hoping that we find that it's much more peaceful once again in our move back to our old spot under Education Other. So Regina's going to share more about that tonight at the member meeting, and there will also be a post on the daily update this coming Wednesday. And let's see. Okay, for our last announcement, let's talk about this fall retreat. It's only 8 weeks away. Can you believe that? 8 weeks until the fall retreat with Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud. We have great prices for the retreat, and I mean really great prices. If you look at the retreats of some other organizations, you will and compare, you will see these are really great prices, especially when you consider that the prices include room and meals. Now, it's too late for the early bird discount, but there is now an additional discount that we have added. This discount is available to you if you sign up for all three retreats. So it's a discount if you're attending all three retreats, you get a discount. The retreats will start on Sunday, October the 23rd, and end on Sunday, October the 30th. Of course, you can still sign up for one, two, or all three of the retreats. And for more information on this, go to Awakening Together, awakening-together.org, and click on the events menu. And Barb has posted that on the board here. Okay. At this point, I'm going to turn this microphone back over to Lynn so that she can play an opening song. This is an opportunity, folks, to really just get settled in and get focused so we truly can join in this intention to hear what we need to hear and really be with the message this morning. So, Lynn, I'll turn the microphone back over to you.
Before the body, before the story, before the name, beyond the mind. attempt to find or explain. Before the breath, beyond the sense of pleasure or of pain, and after death, and after death, I am. Within the heart, the whole and part of everything I see, behind the eyes, beyond the sky, reflecting me, at the silent core, and yet before a phenomenon began,
Lynn, thank you. That was an incredibly beautiful song, very peaceful. Now for our invocation. I want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to teach what I would learn, to reflect on my experience in order to share it with others. I would ask that I convey the message that we all might hear it in a way that helps us live in peace and in happiness. And finally, I would ask that I remember that I am only a conduit. I am only the messenger. And I would ask that I am able to get out of the way so that the miracle of joining can happen here this morning. Amen. Amen. A humble servant. That's all I ask. Okay. And now it's time for our reading. And Lisa Hester has our reading this morning. And I am going to turn the mic over to Lisa.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Good morning, everyone. I trust you can hear me. I'm honored today to read from New Testament interpretation. I remember the first time I read NTI a couple of years ago, I devoured it in like 2 weeks. I've read it a total of 3 times. Now I pull it out and randomly choose passages. There's always something there for me. Some food for thought, some bread of knowledge. Today's reading from Philippians is no exception. So let's go there and see how it speaks to you. It's just a couple of chapters. Chapter 1. Empty your mind now of all you thought was true. Accept the grace and peace of God as your true inheritance. I pray for you means I know who you are and I know who I am. And I know what we are together. I pray for you means I know we are not separate, but connected through God, which is mind and spirit. I pray for you means I recognize our oneness, and I recognize that as I ask for you, I too shall receive. I pray for you is a statement of faith that all you see and sense and experience is not all there is. It is a statement of realization that effect is the result of intent, and intent can be affected by you. There are no chains on mind or spirit, therefore there is nothing to fear. Likewise, there are no limits. You have been told the world is not real, and you are the process of creation that is God. Now it is time to put the two together through practice. I have come to teach you that there are no limits on who you are. It is not the action that is important. It is the motive. Motive determines all things, for motive is purpose, and purpose is everything. You receive according to the motive you put out. Motive is the determiner of all things, because motive is purpose. You shall receive according to the purpose you put out. Therefore, you must ask, what is my purpose? For if you do not know your motive, then you do not know what you will receive. But when you know your motive, you know it has been chosen purposely by you. You can trust that you do know, for you know that you will receive according to the motive you have put out. Faith is by no means dead, for you put your faith in whatever you believe. But I ask you to consider this. Is that what you believe? That which you have chosen based upon the foundation of your motive. Do you have a foundation without a building and a building without foundation? If your faith is split off from your motive, this is surely what you have. To receive according to your motive, your building and your foundation must be one. Put your faith with your motive in all things, or your motive is not the motive that you put out. For through faith, your motive is delivered. Motive without faith is dead. Chapter 2. The way you operate in the world is a reflection of your faith and your belief. for the way you operate is not action, but the image of the expression of thought. Trust that you do not know yourself because you have not observed that closely until now. Realize that your purpose is to ensure that your faith is placed with the motive you have chosen. Be clear on this purpose and then observe yourself. What is it that you find yourself doing? Why are you doing it? Is that action evidence that your faith is placed with your motive? Or are you finding that you have placed your faith elsewhere? Be careful that you do not judge that which you see and observe. Separate yourself from the body. See the body as not you. See it merely as evidence of thought that is in your mind. See it as a learning device and nothing else. When you look at the body, which is showing you what you have asked to see, what is it that you discover? What do you learn about your mind? Realize now who you are as you watch this body and learn from it. Realize that you did not know, and so you lived in ignorance before, but now you do know, and it is your will to correct the ignorance you lived by before. Be grateful for this body and all it is teaching you, for in partnership with this learning device, you will correct the mind. You will bring faith into alignment with motive through your own desire to do so. Do not be personal with the body as you watch it and observe it. Do not feel that you are looking at you. I tell you, the body that you observe is not you. It is merely an expression of your thought. You are the process of creation that is God. You are mind and spirit that is not in the world. Separate yourself from the body in order to observe it. Observe it in order to learn what you want to learn about yourself. When you observe the body with the purpose of learning, you do not observe alone. The one who knows you and teaches you observes with you so you may learn. Call on this one and ask him your questions. He will lead you to find answers, for his purpose is the same as yours. Honor yourself as you observe. Keep your purpose clear in mind. If you notice judgment or guilt because of the evidence you find, know you have lost the perspective of learning. Take a break and rest in quiet, recalling your purpose in mind. When you feel clear, return again in joy. For the work you do is the care of your mind and your own healing. Thank you, Jacqueline. I'll be returning over the mic.
Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate your reading this morning. Lisa had to jump through some hoops to get her technology to work so that she could be here with us and do the reading for us this morning. So thank you again. Sorry, my phone's going a little nuts here. Okay. So, all right, what was all that about, right? Isn't that the question? Unplug my phone. Sorry, it's a distraction. Well, I decided to start doing that. Okay. I see Kathy's written, the work that you do is the care of your mind. Yeah, amen. So let's look at what this is talking about to us. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, sentence 4. It says, you have been told that the world is not real and you are the process of creation that is God. Now it is time to put the two together through practice. I have come to teach you that there are no limits on who you are. The following verses say, it's not the action that is important, it is the motive motive determines all things. For motive is purpose, and purpose is everything. You receive according to the motive that you put out. You know, many of us have a background with A Course in Miracles, and of course the Course teaches us that perception is projection, and that really the world that we experience is the world that we expect to experience. That the world is in fact a reflection of our beliefs. And this verse is not saying anything different from that. It's saying it perhaps in a different way. But it's encouraging us to look to see where, in fact, our beliefs lie. And to get underneath that and to see to see what our motives are. I've titled this talk "Taking Stock," spiritually speaking. And so let's talk a little bit about how I came to this talk this morning. And I can tell you that I have been experiencing some upset here and there. I've been experiencing some upset with some things that I thought I had let go of. I saw that one of the things that I saw was that I was really trying to manipulate outcomes. That I was invested in the way that things might turn out, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Didn't I learn that 10 years ago? Right? I mean, that was one of the first things that I learned is, not to look to outcomes, to really just place my faith, that all is well, right? That's what forgiveness is. That's what the Course teaches. The Course in Miracles teaches. That's what forgiveness is about, is allowing all things to be what they are. And for that reason, you can always trust the outcome. I don't need to affect the outcome. And yet here I was in there tinkering. I'm like, ooh, I need to do this and that. And so all these things turn out. And then, and you can feel the tension in that. And you can feel that, that I had lost my faith, if you will. I hadn't lost it entirely, but I had lost my faith in my trust that I can just let go of the tiller and allow things to be as they are, to practice forgiveness, allow things to be as they are, and live in perfect peace and happiness. I forgot that for a minute. And that made me think, gee, what else have I forgotten? I think most of us can really look at our spiritual journey, whether you started, last week or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. You can look at it and go, what are the things that I've learned? What are those aha moments where I went, oh, now I understand what forgiveness is. Oh, right. Now I get that to do that, I don't look at outcomes. Another lesson that was an aha lesson for me was, it's always my lesson, right? I mean, so there are a number of things I got distracted by the board. There are a number of, you could probably take a sheet of paper and list, 5, 10, 15 things that were aha moments for you. And the question is, are you living as if you really learned those lessons? I had a talk with a friend a few weeks ago who said that their teacher said, your problem is you forget. You learn these lessons and then you forget. And I said, oh, that's crap. You can't forget. If you learn it, how could you forget it? And then look at this. Like the next week, I'm really having this experience where I'm going, oh gosh, I forgot. For 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, I forgot. For a week, I forgot. For a year, I forgot. Because I do know these things. Because when I learned them, I felt them in my heart. So I know that they were learned. So the question is, am I living consistently with what I've learned? Or am I creating a world where those things seem to be untrue? Spiritual amnesia, Sonia's written. Yeah, exactly. So I encourage you to think about them, make a list, right? And just see. You know what those aha moments were in your own life, in your own path, your own journey. Make a list and see. Now, you don't necessarily have to make a list to take stock. As Regina said to me recently, life offers you that opportunity again and again and again to take stock, to see if you're living from the truth that is in your heart, or if you've caught the spiritual amnesia, as Sonia calls it, and you're living from another place and therefore creating a different experience for yourself. And as we're told here in NTI Philippians, verses 15 to 18, it's not the action that is important. You know, it's not about, and you know, gosh, it's really funny because I've read in this Christian literature for years and years, it's not about good works, right? I mean, good works are good, but it's not about good works. It's not about the action. It's the motive. It's the motive that's important. Motive determines all things. Karen writes, "What am I hungry for?" Yeah, there's a lot of silly stuff going on in the room, folks. We're here for a church service, and I'm not going to give up the mic. I'm going to finish the service. So, yeah, thank you. Okay. So as I was saying, it's the motive that determines things, not the actions. You know, your actions will flow from your motive generally, and that's where we get to in this chapter, is to looking at our actions to see if we can determine our motive. You know, in chapter 2, we're told to watch our body, see what the body does. But it's important that when we watch our actions, that we're not judging them. You know, that's not helpful. We're to watch our body to see what we do, to say, gee, is that consistent with my motive? Am I living consistently with what I know? And it's really sweet. It says, don't be personal with the body as you watch or observe it. Don't think that you're looking at you. Look at the body as evidence. Right? See what it does. Is your body being allowed? Let me see. Let me try again. It's really sweet. The Course talks about the body as a communication device. And I'm sure it says it quite clearly, but it was several years before I could finally hear what that meant. And I think I heard it from John Mark Stroud, I don't know, a year ago, something like that. He said, you know, when the Course says the body is a communication device, it doesn't mean it's a communication device with others, though it is. It's a communication device with you, right? What are you feeling? What is your body telling you? Are you feeling tight and constricted? Well, if you are, you're probably not in concert with what you know to be true in your heart. So your body watching your body enables you to see if you are in fact in harmony with the truth of what you know in your heart. So, I've started a little backwards here because I'm talking about this second chapter first. If we look back again at chapter 15 through 18, it says, it's not the action that's important, and that's what we've been talking about. It's the motive. Motive determines all things. For motive is purpose, and purpose is everything. You receive according to the motive you put out. Right? Projection makes perception. So if we're living according to our motives, if we are focused on our motive, then we will begin to experience in harmony with that motive. Because of that, we have to get clear on what our motive is. NTI here says, therefore, you must ask, what is my purpose? For if you do not know your motive, then you do not know what you will receive. But when you know your motive, and you know it has been chosen purposefully by you, you can trust that you do know. For you know that you will receive according to the motive you have put out. So, you know, and I know Jay did a service on this some time ago. I don't remember when, but I remember that he did it. About identifying your spiritual aspiration. That's what this is talking about. Because to identify your spiritual aspiration, whether that be, I want to be only love, I want to be consistently happy, as Michael Singer tells us. I want to make a commitment to happiness, as Michael Singer tells us in The Untethered Soul. I want to be the example of kindness. I want to know only truth. I want to give up the personal self. Whatever your motive is, I mean, identify that. And that way, you have a benchmark. Okay? So that you can go, oh, are these actions what I'm seeing the body do? The actions that I'm seeing the body take? The thoughts that I'm seeing the personal self have? I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. But are these things that I am observing when I'm observing, are these consistent with that motive that I have identified? And this is a very powerful tool. You know, we can go bumbling about, stumbling about, and go, gosh, you know, that day felt funny, or that day felt great, and not really be clear that we really are in the driver's seat, so to speak, in that we have the opportunity to use every day to take us further down this spiritual path. You know, we have to be blown about by the vicissitudes of life. So this taking spiritual stock is a daily endeavor. In fact, it's moment by moment. So we can look at what we're doing and say, let's see, is this consistent with my spiritual purpose? Let me ask, what do I really want? What do I really want? This is the way to identify my spiritual aspiration, my motive. What do I really want? And is this action that I'm taking consistent with what I really want? Still here. The beginning of chapter 2, it says, the way you operate in the world is a reflection of your faith and your belief. Again, right? Because we are creating the experiences that we have. So the way you operate in the world is a reflection of your faith and your belief. For the way you operate is not action, but the image of the expression of thought. And our purpose should always be the following. Realize that your purpose is to ensure that your faith is placed with the motive you have chosen. Be clear on this purpose, then observe yourself. So watch. So step back and watch. I mean, as if you were watching a movie. What is this body doing now? Is what this body's getting ready to do, is that consistent with my purpose, with my motive? And, you know, you may not change your actions. Again, remember, it said that it's not the action that's important. You may find that yes, your actions are indeed consistent with your motive. You may find that you have mixed motive. You know, I have had those experiences where my motives were genuine. My motives were aligned with the purpose of being only love. And then later, I forget, and I want credit for whatever it is that I think I've done, this magnanimous thing that I think I've done. So I can get confused about my motive. Doesn't mean that I would change what I would do. A pure motive might encourage me to do exactly the same thing. But I can drop the rest. I can drop the thoughts about, did they see what I did? At other times, I can examine what I'm doing or about to do, and I can go, oh my goodness. This is not consistent with my motive. This is not about being only love. This is just about being seen as magnanimous. Or whatever it is, whatever my misguided motive is. Regina says, the Jewish teaching is, if I want my good deed to be seen, my good deed is not a good deed. And Jay typed something that I have no idea what that means. Sorry, Jay, I don't know what that word is. Yeah. Yeah, and Barb types, who wants the good deed to be seen? And that's the truth, right? So you can look at this and you go, okay, let's see, what is the motive here? The motive is to maintain this sense, the separate sense of a personal self in that particular situation, right? If I want to be seen, who wants to be seen? Oh, that's the I. That's not being in touch with the truth that I know in my heart. But again, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, be careful that you do not judge that which you see and observe. Separate yourself from the body. See the body as not you. See it merely as evidence of thought that is in your mind. See it as a learning device and nothing else. So, and I hear Regina's imitation of Peace Pilgrim. If you do that, then you can make a quick recovery. A quick recovery. Right? There's no judgment in discovering. There's no judgment in discovering that your motives have been, finger pointing in the air. There's no judgment in discovering that your motives have been misplaced. That your thoughts have been skewed a bit. I mean, that's what walking the path is. Otherwise, you know, we'd all be enlightened. We all just, I don't know what we'd do, right? Because I'm not that. But we're talking about the practice. We're talking about the path. We're talking about the motive, you know? What is my purpose? Is what I'm doing aligned with that purpose? And be sure that you do not do this alone. It says here in verses 19 through 24, when you observe the body with the purpose of learning, when you observe with the purpose of learning, you do not observe alone. The one who knows you and teaches you observes with you. So you may learn. Call on this one and ask him your questions. He will lead you to find answers, for his purpose is the same as yours. And that's what we're all here for, right? I mean, that's why we come here every Sunday. That's why we hang out in the sanctuary. That's why we read our spiritual books. That's why we do our daily practice. That's why we meditate. So that we can find the answers about our truth. So if we're willing to look, we're on the right path. We're aligned with our purpose. We're aligned with the truth of our hearts, and we won't do it alone. Inner guidance is there to cradle us, to teach us, to say, look at this. Did you look at that? Did you see that? I want to look again at our purpose and values here, what I call our preamble. Once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, universal wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of universal grace. That's all it is. It's opening ourselves. Teach me. Teach me what I would learn. It's the willingness, the little willingness that the Course in Miracles talks about. And as NTI teaches, you know, it's you're either in one experience or the other, willingness or resistance. So that's all that's been asked here when we say let's take spiritual stock. Right? Let's take an inventory. A fearless and searching inventory. You know, it sounds, that sounds daunting, doesn't it? No. No. We're just asked to be open, to observe, to join with inner wisdom, to be taught. In fact, pardon me. In fact, Philippians 25-30 says, honor yourself as you observe. Keep your purpose clear in mind. If you notice judgment or guilt because of the evidence you find, because of what you see yourself doing, know you have lost the perspective of learning. Take a break and rest in quiet, recalling your purpose in mind. When you feel clear, return again in joy. For the work you do is the care of your mind and your own healing. Yeah. Yeah, Iris says, fearless and searching inventory, step four. Yeah, when I was looking at doing this talk, I typed in some things in the internet and that came up over and over and over again. A fearless and searching inventory. Yes. Be gentle and loving. Remember your innocence. So, I want to take just a minute here and look at something else came in. You know, you all hear me say it every time. I love the internet. I do. Because you can type in anything in the internet and have all this information at your fingertips and all of these. You know, and it's not just information. I mean, these people have posted what has come from their heart, from their learning, from their truth. Right? One of the things that came up this week when I was looking at these ideas was an article called Taking a Spiritual Inventory. And I'd like to share this with you now. So I'm going to do that. And this is from, let me see if I can figure out what it's from. Some hospice type facility. And the name of the article, I believe, is, it says taking a spiritual inventory. It says, as death approaches, it's natural to take spiritual stock of one's life. The fact of death is the great mystery and the great truth that illuminates our lives. To face our own imminent death is to examine our lives with an urgency and honesty we may never have felt before. A spiritual assessment is a helpful practice as we move close to dying. Such an assessment seems to arise naturally in the course of the profound psychological and spiritual transformations of dying. Since we all share the same human condition, many terminally ill people report asking themselves the same questions. These are many of the questions that those who have had a near-death experience report that they have been asked. They are questions that pierce through the frivolousness at the surface of life and confront us with the value and significance this precious gift of a human life offers. It is not too late to take stock of our lives, even in the last weeks and days of terminal illness. And for those of us in the midst of life, in the apparent safety and security of our health, it is not too early. No matter how much time we have left to live, the answers to the following questions, voiced in the quiet honesty of our own hearts, provide direction to the rest of our living. Regina's written, the article fits well with Michael Singer's recommendation that we contemplate death as a part of the spiritual path. We contemplate death to help motive us to use now. I'm sorry, I got lost in that. Oh, thank you. We contemplate death to help motivate us to use now in the way we really want to. Yeah. I think I agree, Regina, that this article fits well with that. So let's look at the questions as she's written here, voiced in the quiet honesty of our own hearts to provide direction to the rest of our living. And here are the questions. Who have I been all this time? How have I used the gift of a human life? What do I need to clear up or let go of in order to be more peaceful? What gives my life meaning? For what am I grateful? What have I learned of truth, and how truthfully have I learned to live? What have I learned of love, and how well have I learned to love? What have I learned about tenderness, vulnerability, intimacy, and communion? What have I learned about courage, strength, power, and faith? What have I learned of the human condition, and how great is my compassion? How am I handling my suffering? How can I best share what I've learned? What helps me open my heart and empty my mind and experience the presence of spirit? What will give me strength as I die? What is my relationship with that which will give me strength as I die? If I remembered that my breaths were numbered, what would be my relationship to this breath right now? Who am I? Yeah, so that's a that's a great list to use to take your spiritual inventory. And I think that it's a great practice. And in fact, I think that I will make sure that Lynn posts a link to this this article if you want to go back and look at those. I see Regina said the same thing. Yeah, if you want to go look back and look at those questions after the service. But what I want to leave you with is, in addition to this, you know, sitting down and taking this inventory, is to remember that we have the opportunity in every moment of every day to take this inventory, to take an inventory. Do I see my body, which is a reflection of my thoughts? Do I see my motive, my spiritual aspiration, the answers to these questions? Do I see that reflected in what the body does? Do I see that reflected in my experience? And if that's not what I'm seeing, that's okay, right? It's okay. Just begin to bring your experience into alignment with your answers to these questions. Begin to bring your experience into alignment with the truth that you know in your heart. Okay. I love you guys. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to come here and share with you. Let me look again at my schedule here. And what we'll do now is I'm going to let go of the mic. Lynn is going to play a song for us so that we can contemplate what we've talked about this morning. This is also an opportunity for you to donate to Awakening Together if you wish to do so. And Barb will post a donation link in the room. But please take this time to just really sit with this for a moment. And when we come back, we'll hear what inspired you this morning and what's on your hearts. So I'll let go of the mic. Thank you.
Clinch our lifetime's argument that nothing comes from violence and nothing ever could. For all was born beneath an angry star. Lest we forget how fragile we are. On and on the rain will fall like tears from a star. Like tears from a storm. On and on the rain will say how fragile we are, how fragile we are. How fragile we are, how fragile.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Lynn. And welcome back, Carleek. Carl, that's Carl. Okay, welcome back, Carl. Yay. Okay. So, who would like to share whatever you're moved to share based on this morning's talk? Jay, please take the mic. Okay, did we lose him? Where did Carly? Sorry about that, Carly, but we're all happy to see you back, as you can see. I think Jay is gone completely. yeah, short sharing. There he's back. Okay, Jay, please take the mic.
Okay, I think you can hear me now. Maybe my wordless sharing was better. Maybe I'm going to ruin it by speaking. Huh? Jim says, yes, you'll ruin it by speaking. So, what I wanted to share is that there is a lot of inspiration I got from listening to Jackie this morning. And it was mainly the reminding thought that every breath is important. And that every moment we have is numbered. And that was really important that Jackie share that. You know, it entered into my mind very deeply this morning, and it sunk in. And I think it's just a powerful teaching to be in that space of appreciation of what it is that is important. Because for a long time I was very drawn to working with hospice work. I felt very drawn to working with, even though I never actually did actual hospice work, it was a subject of interest to me to contemplate death as part of my spiritual path, and it always has been. And so that just spoke to me a lot, and I think it's an important part of providing that motivation. There's some Buddhist monks that have meditation upon that. Also, Christian mystic traditions have meditation upon that. And it does serve as a motivation. So I just wanted to say thanks. I guess I'm giving you credit here, Jackie. I probably shouldn't. But great service. Thank you.
thank you, Jay. I'm not sure if y'all caught that whole credit part, but I see that you did. Thanks so much. Thanks for sharing, Jay. It's really sweet. Regina, please take the mic.
Hi, Jacqueline. Yeah, that was a very inspirational service. It's interesting because a couple of weeks ago it crossed my mind, because I love what you read from NTI Philippians. I love that whole watch the body to see if you're aligned with your spiritual aspiration teaching. And not only does that show up in NTI, but Adyashanti teaches that as well. So I've seen that in two places. And it crossed my mind a couple weeks ago that someday I might bring that to a Sunday service. But I don't have to, so thank you. But I think one thing that you said that is really important, and I just want to echo it, you know, because you said so much, things can get forgotten. Because, as you also pointed out, some of us forget the spiritual lessons that we learn, right? So echo and repetition is very helpful. But, you know, you talked about checking to see what our motive is. And one thing that you mentioned, which is really important, is that we can have mixed motives. So, like, there can be something that the ego has gotten a hold of, and the ego is really chattering in our mind and, you know, wanting us to do or say something. And after we work through that and we let go of that motive, sometimes there was a pure motive hidden underneath, and sometimes there wasn't. Sometimes it was only ego. And I think that can get very confusing for people. At least in my experience of talking with people, it can get very confusing that there can be mixed motives, and that sometimes even after letting go of ego, we find that there was a prompt underneath. But it's actually not that unusual. You know, in a Course in Miracles, at least in the original version, it talks about distorted miracle principles. And I think originally in the Ur text, that had something to do with sex. But actually what I've found in my own observation is that this is fairly common, where we'll get a prompt to say something or do something or not say something and not do something, you know, something like that. But we'll get a prompt, and then ego hijacks the prompt. And then some ego motive is laid on top of it. It's like hijacked. And so if we're able to see that and let go of the hijacking, we get back to the original prompt, which may have been pure in the first place. So it's really something to watch for. And sometimes it is just ego, and once we let go of ego, we're not going to say that. We're not going to do that, because the only motive was ego. But it's really something to pay very careful, heartfelt attention to. You really have to be able to tune into yourself and become very, very self-aware to look at those motives and see. But sometimes there was an original prompt underneath that was very pure. And one way to know those really pure original motives, you know, if it's a prompt to do something or a prompt to say something, is that it doesn't come with a story. It's just this feeling to do this, to go there, to say that. Or again, it could be to not say that, or to not go there, or to not do this. But it doesn't have a story. And so sometimes when we subtract everything the ego has added and we get back, we find that it's still there, but now it's clean. I call it clean. It has no story. And so, I think it's important to look at that. All right. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful service.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Regina. And I do appreciate your clarity on that mixed motives issue. I thank you for everything. Thanks for being there. Sonia, please take the mic.
Jacqueline, it really was. It was such a helpful service this morning. And I had found the prompting more and more this last week. That many of the things that I do are not in line with not just a spiritual life, but the things that will make me happy. And Regina, it's always great following you because you have such clarity. I know everybody's listening. But I did want to thank you, Jacqueline, for just a really, really powerful service this morning. And it does remind me of, Regina, your teaching on what do I want? What do I want? Do I really want to give everyone my opinion on politics? Or do I want to awaken? Do I want to live in joy? Do I want to love my brother who is one with me? Do I want to be gentle? Would I rather be kind than right? What do I want? And I'm very grateful that we have this place to come to, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week, so that we can remind ourselves of what we truly want. Not, and we can't do it in meditation on our own or in our groups or with others, but this very powerful remembering of what we really want. And I do have one favor to ask. If you could post the part of Philippians that we were talking about, I'd like to make that a morning practice for the next several months, to remember what it is that I truly want and remember what this body is for. And then last but not least, I must say, I do want to be kind, but the article that we quoted, I wanted to also find that written down because I want to print that out and review those. I think that was excellent. But it's actually Dr. Andrew Weil or Well that wrote the book, and I think the lady who wrote the article actually took those from that book. But you can go to her article in order to print them out. You can't print them out from this book. But again, thank you everybody for joining here. I can tell you that the energy this morning, the just peace, the deep, profound peace from us all joining together is overwhelming, and I'm grateful.
Okay, yeah. Lynn, thank you, Sonia, first of all. Thank you. It's sweet sharing. And Lynn says she'll post the reading if she has the site. And Lynn, I have already sent that to you. The reading. I have sent to you the link to the article by Kathleen Dowling Singh, PhD. Anyway, I sent you the link to that article and those questions that we talked about there at the end. And thank you, Regina. Yeah, that I was distracted by the writing on the board there. But yes, I was going to say that I do not have a an e-version of NTI. I just have the old paperback copy. The well-worn paperback copy. So, okay, I love you all. I am grateful. As I said, I am so grateful to be able to do this, with you guys, you know, to have you guys as, mighty companions on this path. I'm grateful to you, Regina, for bringing NTI to us, and I'm grateful to you for your continued assistance and guidance as my teacher, and yeah, including encouraging me to let inspiration lead. I love all of you guys, and I think now we have social hour, and I'll turn this mic back over to Lynn Johnson so she can head that up. Okay, I'll see you guys tonight for my group, right? And then for the special members meeting, 8 o'clock Eastern time for the movie group and 9 for the members meeting. Love you all. Lisa, I want to say Lisa. Our new treasurer on our board of directors, Lisa Hester. Lisa, thank you for reaching out to me. Lisa called me and said, so do you want me to be the reader or not? Because we talked about it earlier, and we worked on getting it set up. Lisa, I love you. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you to everyone who spoke this morning. Now letting go of the mic. Bye, everybody. You are becoming the song of your heart.
You are.